Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
What is a microtransaction? Well, chances are, if you've ever subscribed to or paid for an online game or an app, you've probably contributed to this multi-billion dollar industry. Critics say the practice financially exploits customers or even worse, encourages gambling behaviour. And RTE business reporter Adam Maguire is here to explain what it's all about. Hi, Adam.
Hi, Claire. How are you?
I'm good. I know all about these things because I am pestered by my children to buy these apps with the in-app purchase. So the app itself is free, but they get you once you're in there. Will you explain to us exactly what these microtransactions are?
Yeah, so as the name suggests, a microtransaction, it's generally a small fee you pay for access to maybe a feature or service, usually in something you already own. So the concept, as you say, really took off in gaming first. The way it works is you have a game, maybe it was a free game, or sometimes it's one you paid for. You could have paid 60 quid or more for this game to begin with. And then you're offered a chance to pay a small fee for access to a feature like a weapon or an item of clothing or something for your character. Maybe even something that makes the game easier to progress in. And there are examples that's gone all the way back to arcade games in the 1990s. But really it came into its own in the past 15 years as online gaming took off. There's a legendary example, one of the earliest, a game called Oblivion Elder Scrolls, and it charged a few dollars for gold horse armor. It wasn't any better than the other armor, it was just gold. And there was uproar on the back of this, but since then this thing has become such a huge industry. Most major game releases now have some kind of premium add-ons. In fact, this year microtransactions are estimated to be worth somewhere approaching $40 billion, so huge amount of money spent on them. And there are some of the best known games in the world now are entirely built on these things. Fortnite, for example, it's free to play, you download it, but you pay a couple of quid for skins, so for clothing for your characters.
V-Bucks, Adam.
Yeah, and for subscriptions as well, for the Battle Pass as well. Yeah. The game generated $5.8 billion in revenue last year.
So I'm not surprised.
And it's free to download. Yeah. So it's entirely based on these kind of things.
It's in my life. I'm not surprised
and
to hear that.
And it's not just games as well. We have to say, you mentioned apps that are free to download and in-app purchases. So anything on your smartphone, your tablet, it can be free or cheap, and then you pay for extra services. So even if you don't play games, you've probably encountered microtransactions in the last few years.
Now, these microtransactions, they've earned a bit of a bad reputation, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, I talked about gamers giving out about them, almost universally hated by gamers, even though they're forking out billions of dollars every year to pay for them. The bigger problem, though, that's cropped up as a result of them are people who have gotten a nasty shock on their credit card or maybe their debit card bill, maybe with hundreds or even thousands of euro in charges. What often happens is, the example you give, someone's child is playing it on their phone or their tablet, they're prompted to buy something and they know the PIN code. The app store has the credit card details, so then they make the purchase. The parent might not even realise it's being made.
That's why everyone needs to use the fingerprint.
Yeah,
ID.
Exactly. The fingerprint, or even just don't have it linked at all. Don't let them know the PIN number. Or some cases, the children just know their parents' credit card details altogether. So that's a problem in itself. And it can get out of hand really, really quickly. There was a story 2 years ago, a 6-year-old in Connecticut in America spent $16,000 on microtransactions in a Sonic game that they were playing on their mother's iPhone. At the time, and I haven't seen any updates since then, Apple said it wasn't able to refund her because it had passed the 60-day period where you can notify them. So huge. But there's loads of other stories with thousands of dollars being built up. But another criticism of microtransactions, beyond that, how easy it is to rack up a bill, is the way they trap people into a kind of impulse purchase, to get this mindset, you pay for things that you don't need because it just pops up and you just click a button and you have it then. And there's a fear that it's kind of hardwiring bad behaviours into users, particularly young users, and a particular focus on what are called loot boxes. So this is where you don't know what you're paying for when you pay the fee. So it could be a useful add-on in the game, or it could be something that's just a bit of a novelty. Games companies argue that this is just kind of like the digital version of the stickers or the trading cards that you could buy in a shop, and you could buy in a shop for many years. So you're handing over your money, but you don't necessarily know what you're getting.
Yeah.
But some say that's just gambling. Basically, you're paying your bet and you're taking your odds to see what you might get. Many countries have actually introduced restrictions on these, maybe on the odds, kind of make the odds better, or on the amount that people can pay. The Netherlands is looking at just banning them outright completely. Here in Ireland, there's no restriction on them. There were suggestions that the new gambling regulator could have some kind of oversight over the area because it's effectively seen as a form of gambling. That new authority hasn't been properly established yet. It's not clear whether it will be the case when it is up and running.
Okay, now there's another development as well, because these microtransactions are spilling out from that online world and mainly the gaming world over into the real world.
Yeah, this one raised a lot of eyebrows when it cropped up a few weeks ago. BMW announced it was introducing microtransactions on some of its cars. Drivers can pay a monthly fee to be able to use their heated seats or heated steering wheels or other little luxuries like that. So $18 a month to be able to heat up your seats, $12 a month for a heated steering wheel if that's what you want and you have a BMW.
Right. And of course, the way they used to sell that was that you would buy a more souped up car when you were purchasing it.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. But what's happening now is that car companies are basically churning out one type of car. So it's much easier for them from a production point of view. And then using software to lock off some of the parts of it. And then you pay to unlock it. Mm. And it's not really a new concept, in fairness. Tesla, for example, depending on the model you buy there, you can then pay extra to unlock faster acceleration or more battery range. The cars are actually capable of doing all that, but it's locked down by software. You then pay your fee, and it is a decent fee as well. It's well over €1,000, and it's unlocked wirelessly, and suddenly then the car is a better car
and
than it was.
And they get when you bought a steady income stream, which is what they want.
Well, yeah, but the big difference with Tesla, in fairness to them, is that it's a one-off fee. It's a chunky fee, but it's a one-off thing. BMW's idea, though, is that it's a regular, reoccurring fee, and it's created a lot of negativity because people are used to this idea that you pay for it and it's yours, but with the BMW model, it's not. Now, they have said that there are ways of buying it outright, but they're not the only ones looking at this as a way of making money. General Motors in the US, for example, says it expects to net between $20 and $25 billion in annual subscription revenue by 2030. So a lot of car companies are looking at this as a way of getting that steady flow of money coming in.
The other way to look at it is you might only use the heated seat in November, December and January. Do you want to pay for the add-on when you're buying the car, or do you want to pay for the 3 months?
Yeah, I mean, that is a fair point. I suppose what will frustrate people, though, is the idea that it's there in the car. It's not like something you have to go to the showroom and get it put in, or get it put in when it's being built. That's the fact that it's there and you're just not able to access it if you don't have the money to do it.
So ultimately then, is this about squeezing more money out of consumers?
Yeah, pretty much. Like car makers are facing a market where people are keeping their cars for longer. People are moving away from cars altogether. So anything they can do to boost their revenue, they're going to try it. And if your car is in any way new, it's probably nudging you in that direction already. You know, a lot of modern cars offer in-car Wi-Fi for an added fee, or vehicle tracking to help if it's stolen. The expectation, though, is that these subscription models will slowly expand over time, and they'll maybe apply to some of the things that you might have just expected to have or pay up front for in the past. Or what may happen is that, you know, you buy your car new, you have all these added features and that's great. You sell it on then, and all those features are then locked out by software wirelessly, which is entirely possible to do today. And then as a second hand or the third hand owner, you have to go back and pay your subscription fee or pay your fee. So it's a nice way of the car company to keep making money long after the car has left the factory.
From the same car.
Yeah, exactly. And but it opens, besides the cost, it opens up a lot of data protection issues, because, you know, your car then has your car details. It knows a lot about your preferences. It has location tracking, all this stuff, which is going to be very useful to scammers and hackers if they were able to get their hands on it.
Mm-hmm. But then again, I suppose that there's an argument to say we've crossed that bridge, haven't we?
We
lots
have.
Of other places.
To a large extent. Yeah, I suppose, you know, but when you think about your phone is probably tracking you everywhere you go, but if another device that has all that information, it's another thing to be worried about, I suppose.
And so will these microtransactions, and are they going beyond the gaming industry and the car industry? Are we going to see them in other parts of our lives too?
Yeah, I think so. Because, like, I mean, ultimately people are willing to pay it, even though they grumble about it. The evidence is people are willing to pay it. And we are seeing it in you know, say subscriptions, which are kind of the other side of the same coin as microtransactions. A lot of real world products now available via subscription. It's not just your you know, video streaming or your music. I renewed my contact lens prescription recently, and I was told I could get my contact lenses on a prescription or on a subscription if I wanted to. So rather than just buying the box as I need them, I could get them sent to me regularly. Mm-hmm. I've seen other companies offering toilet roll on subscription. You can get socks, you can get pet food. And I mentioned those loot boxes. A lot of companies are doing real world loot boxes. You pay a monthly monthly fee for a delivery of surprise items, usually around a theme like beauty or maybe food or comic books. They're kind of like grown up lucky dip bags. And all of this getting us used to that concept of paying a little bit, relatively little bit of money for something that we want or we need.
Those things, those subscription models, they fall into the microtransaction basket, do they?
They kind of do. I mean, some of them aren't exactly micro, some of them might be quite expensive, but a lot of them are relatively small amounts of money for what you're getting. But I suppose that is the big thing that you need to watch. Are you getting, you know, good value for it. That really is what it boils down to.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing to say is that we should always check subscriptions. And I do this regularly on the phone just to check exactly what I'm paying for, because sometimes you might set something up thinking I'm going to cancel that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you forget about it.
Yeah, or there's an introductory offer and then the fee goes up, or you just kind of forget about it and then you suddenly realise something added to your bill. And a lot of these services, this is the thing to watch for, they're very easy to sign up for, not so easy to log out of then. So you need to watch for that they often give you the run, and not just small companies, big companies do this as well. You know, they can give you the runaround when you're trying to get rid of them. So that's something to watch for. And be careful as well that, you know, it may, like that loot box, for example, if you're getting something that's not useful to you, or you realise this is actually not worth the tenner I'm paying a month, you know, you need to get rid of it.
That's the thing with, you know, those real world boxes. You mentioned beauty boxes. Mm. There might be two things in there you want and you'll use, but if you're not using the rest of it,
there is, you know, these subscription models, they could be useful because it could be a sustainable way of maybe getting little bits of products that you need on a regular basis, or if it's something you need a certain amount of every month, it's handy to have it delivered to you. But as you say, if you're getting this box, and even if in value terms it's actually good value, if they're products that aren't for you, that you're not using, and you're dumping half them or you're giving them away, you have to ask yourself, well, am I getting good value? Even if in theory the retail price is good, I'm not getting good value out of it. I'm kind of wasting my money.
At least
here.
With the contact lenses, you're using them.
Well, yeah,
not
exactly.
Not today, no.
But, and that's why I don't have the subscriptions, because I only need them every now and again. So
listen, it's buyer beware, but we are going to see more and more of
absolutely.
This.
Absolutely. And the thing as well to watch for is they're microtransactions. They can be hard to spot on your credit card and on your debit card. They're relatively small amounts of money. So sometimes you need to do a deep trawl, just line by line, make sure, is there any €2 coming out here and there that you've forgotten about, or maybe that, you know, your son or daughter is taking off the App Store. So, you know, you need to pay attention because you can get caught out by it.
Watch those children, they're sneaky. Adam, thanks so much. Adam McGuire there.